Unit 3. Listening Focus. Activity 2.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Johnson. Both my father and my grandfather were in their 90s when they died, and I like to think I've inherited their long life genes. What are my chances of making a century?
Well, Heather, I can see that you share a tendency with many to give biology pride of place in the longevity stakes. Mm-hmm. As I see it, putting so much emphasis on genetics is just wishful thinking. People set great store by the fact that they have family members who've lived into their 80s and 90s, in the vain hope that they can ignore warnings about harmful habits like smoking. A completely foolhardy attitude, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I hate to say it, but having family members who've lived long lives doesn't mean that you will do so yourself.
Oh, mind you, most people died before their 40th birthday in the old days anyway, didn't they?
In fact, the idea that they all died young is another misconception in my view. I always tell people to take a good look at old family photographs. When they do, they see there are plenty of elderly people in them. It's true that without antibiotics, everyone was more vulnerable to diseases, particularly babies and children. Because a lot of babies and children died, the mean age at death is much lower, even though those who did happen to make it into adulthood had almost as good a chance of living a long life as we do today.
And life was a lot less stressful then, so that would have helped too.
In fact, I think the stresses were just different. But the idea that having a stress-free life is the key to eternal youth is yet another myth. Granted, a miserable job you dislike causes the wrong kind of stress and may be a factor in your dying young. But in cases where you like your job, even if it is tough and you rise to the challenges it presents, you are actually more likely to have a long life. And of course, responsible, conscientious people who look forward to going to work also achieve professional success.
But doesn't that contradict the idea that laid-back people live longer?
Well, they don't necessarily. One of the most important factors is actually conscientiousness. Conscientious people are more likely to pay attention to their health and to avoid life-threatening habits like smoking or drinking too much. They'll also be more inclined to avoid very fattening foods, but they won't veer to the other extreme of starving themselves. This is another thing that I really must make clear. Just because animals on a very low-calorie diet live longer, it doesn't necessarily mean that we do. Starvation dieting is disastrous for your health.
I seem to be getting all the factors wrong. But surely being happily married does lead to a happier life, doesn't it?
It depends. For men, being married is closely related to being happy and healthy. And if a man is happy with a relationship and healthy, his partner tends to be as well. Sadly, when the boot is on the other foot, that is, if a woman is happily married and her partner is not, then it won't have such a positive impact on the length of her life. This always strikes me as rather unfair. It doesn't matter how close they are in age, she always worries about him and feels responsible for him.
What about widows? I've read they often live longer than women whose partners are still alive.
Yes, that's true. Women establish and maintain strong friendship networks. Perhaps once they are on their own, they can enjoy and find support in these networks more than they could when their partners were still alive. This is just a theory, of course. There are almost certainly other explanations.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Johnson. I've been keeping track of all the beneficial factors and I don't think I'm doing too badly.
That's good to hear. Thank you for having me on the programme.